Hello, and welcome to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, where you'll hear advice from experienced safety leaders on how to protect your people and business. I'm Peter Steinfeld. Ryan Schoenfeld is the co-founder and CEO of Hivewatch. In this episode, we explore the most significant shifts and prominent trends in the corporate security space, from the rapid evolution of physical and cyber risks to the blind spots organizations often overlook. Ryan shares his outlook on what security leaders should be preparing for now and what could catch them off guard in the future. Here's our conversation. Hey, Ryan, thanks for being here.
Hey, Peter, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the big picture. How has the risk landscape changed for corporate security leaders over the past few years?
Well, look, I think risk landscape is something that's always been dynamic and will continue to evolve over time. I think what that means for businesses, big picture, in terms of how they're protecting their organizations, shifts how they have to think about implementation of technology and how technology hits operations. That's really where the rubber meets the road. And so in the retail environment, for example, we're seeing more civil unrest driving issues at retail locations, whether that's protests turning into looting or agitators within protests that are turning it into these violent situations. We've seen shootings that are targeting specific corporations in the last few weeks and months. And that's something that's becoming more publicly recognized. And I think things like social media that have the ability now to give anybody a platform creates an increased risk profile for organizations because monitoring that threat landscape with people who have this newfound platform and ability to reach hundreds and thousands of followers who otherwise would not have had that ability has really shifted how we have to think about scaling those programs.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more vectors to consider these days than there were in the past. So how should security leaders adapt their approach based on all those changes that you're talking about?
Well, we talk a lot about silos, and I think that Gates, Guards, and Guns approach is a silo in and of itself. And sometimes there's sub-silos even within that segment. And if you look at most corporate security programs' budget allocation, a disproportionate amount of it is spent on guards. And it's not to poo-poo on guards. I think they have their value and they have their place. I think that there's too much emphasis put on people doing tasks that could be automated. And I also think that, look, if you're a retailer, and you've got hundreds or thousands of locations and you're placing guards at those locations, the real question is, how are you making the assessment of where you should be allocating those resources? And what data is driving that decision? Because in most cases, when we see it, it's really kind of gut feeling, or it's based on, you know, store had a robbery, therefore we placed a guard there. Well, what's the likelihood that that person's going to come back and rob it again tomorrow? It kind of already happened. Now, maybe there's data to support that, but the question is, where's the data and how are you using it? And how are you using data to build corporate standards that you can apply to your allocation of those resources? Because it really should be data-driven so that maybe you miss a location and you don't have a guard there. And then an incident happens and somebody comes back and says, well, security, why wasn't a guard there? Well, we have these standards that we've equally applied across the organization based on this data set and these criteria. And therefore, sorry it happened, but it did not meet the level that required us to have one there. And by the way, after this incident, it may still not meet the requirement to have a guard there. I like to talk a lot about, and I said it before, where the rubber meets the road, and it's technology and operations and how those things come together to more effectively drive the program. Starting to think about the interplay between the tech stack and how those systems talk to each other and how they interoperate. Starting to think about breaking down data silos and sharing information cross-system, wherein you don't have an analyst that has to do these weird CSV exports from all these different systems and manually try to correlate data together. And then I think a big piece of that is also the ecosystem of players in the space. A typical enterprise security program, we find that there's 30, in some cases, north of 100 different point solutions that each do an individual thing. And a lot of times what happens historically is a company has a problem and then they task somebody to go out and solve that problem. And that solution comes with 1, 2, 3 point solutions that each do a finite thing. And over time, that problem just becomes exponential. So that's a lot of where we talk about breaking down those data silos and starting to think about interoperability and ecosystem partnerships is a big thing where a lot of players, manufacturers in the security space historically have not collaborated. But like, what's in the best interest of this organizational change of breaking down silos and bringing data together? Those types of ecosystem partnerships are so important for organizations to be able to scale their programs.
And you just mentioned that there's this condensing of cyber and physical. Why do you believe that that's important?
Convergence has been a term that's been thrown around the industry for as long as I've been involved in it, but I don't think that it's really materially happened yet. And I think there's a lot of reasons why. We talk about manufacturers that want to own eyeballs and data, and historically that's meant a lack of APIs. A decade ago and, you know, up till 5 years ago, the cybersecurity industry really did a very good job of creating openness and APIs between different systems because it's what those parts of the organizations needed to be able to do proactive detection through mitigation and resolution. And physical security hasn't seen that yet. And I think we're starting to see that transition. But I think the structural shift that's happening within the organizations is forcing organizationally, internally, that shift to happen. But it's also having a downstream effect on the manufacturers in the space because all of a sudden there's this expectation of cyber and technology leaders who said, why do we have a different set of standards on how we approach technology and integration and interoperability?
Well, in your opinion, what are the most critical risks that security teams should prepare for right now, seeing that there's just so much that they need to contend with?
When I look at standard operating procedures within organizations, and I saw this a lot before Hivewatch as a consultant, and organizations would build SOPs that were specific to scenarios. And that's important for some. The challenge with that approach is that it requires you to advance think about every scenario that might happen. And the reality is the threat landscape, as we talked about, has changed significantly. And so it's not realistic to expect to have a pre-baked SOP for all of these different types of circumstances. I think that has a few downstream effects. Number one, from a talent and personnel perspective, I think we really need to think very differently about the folks that are staffing our operation centers and control rooms and be optimizing for critical thinking skills versus rote tasks. I think that's an up-leveling of the type of person. It also increases the cost of the type of person. But if you pair that up-leveling with the right tech stack, you can actually do significantly more impactful work, maybe even at a lower budget or at a flat budget. So that's a reframing that takes some coaching and education for folks to understand.
Yeah, I think with all the different threats that people are faced with, that's really the only way to do it is to create a really highly functioning team that has the right tools that can just respond to whatever gets thrown their way that day.
Yeah, I think you have criticality of incidents. I think you're assessing for impact or potential impact of incidents. And based on that, you're roping in the right response teams. And that's something that the SOCs are responsible for using their heads because you can't predefine every scenario, even within, say, active shooter. There's so many different sub-scenarios within that category of an incident in terms of if you're going to use a mass comms tool to get a team together and you're going to open a bridge and you're going to start an incident response workflow. Well, which group are we bringing in and which facility does it affect? And then what downstream impact? And also, remote and hybrid workforce has changed the landscape too in terms of threat, wherein the GSOC historically was responsible for threats and incidents that happened within the four walls of the office. What an organization looks like today is wildly different in terms of having distributed workforce. You may have people that are more international. You may have one person that lives in a remote city. And so the threat landscape may not be an active shooter. It may be a pandemic, or it may be a medical incident that affects a particular community. And while that doesn't have an impact on the office per se, it may have an impact on people's ability to show up to work and do their jobs. And that may not be a physical threat, but it may impact business continuity. And so all the different things that we have to think about now as a global security organization has just gotten much more broad.
Yeah, so it seems like what's really important is being able to just quickly understand what's going on as fast as possible, Then understand who or what is impacted in relation to your organization that you're responsible for. And then understand really deeply how to use the tools you have to mitigate it as best as possible. And if you can do those three things, you can kind of deal with anything that goes on.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, not to throw around buzzwords, but I really think that that's the value of AI right now. Not to overstate its capabilities, but it does have capabilities to be a force multiplier within security teams today. And I think that there's practical, very cost-effective ways to leverage the technology. And so there's vast amounts of data out there. So scanning data and coming up with a consolidated understanding of all that data, like that's a very good, very practical use case that AI is good at today. Then there's also the following a standard operating procedure. So based on our understanding of all that data, this is the workflow that we need to follow. Like AI can do that today. We sell an AI product, and one of the new things that we have to go through is an AI governance board. We have to figure out what that means for us in terms of product development and building for things that will fall within compliance. And if it's a global organization, you've got now the EU AI Act on top of GDPR. And so like, those things keep evolving and have to be thoughtful about what it means to scale a tool globally for an enterprise.
Well, with so many risks competing for attention, how can security leaders just balance current threats with those that are on the horizon?
Well, I think number one, security leaders in general need to do a good job of being a business leader first before they're a security leader. And what that means is really understanding the business that they work for, and what the business is protecting. What are the things that can take the business out or have the largest impact? And then you start building a security program around those priorities. I think a lot of times what we see are folks come in and they pick a system because it's what they've used at the last three companies they were at and they're comfortable with it and they know what it can do, but it's actually not most aligned with the business objectives of your organization. And being an exceptional business leader that wears a security hat versus trying to fit the business into what you're defining as security. And that's when I think people start seeing a lot higher degree of success.
Well, where do you see organizations falling short when it comes to corporate security?
I think a lot of security leaders have a missed opportunity with a seat at the table. And I think that a lot of that is driven by what I just said, being a security leader first before a business leader. And people misconstrue that statement a lot of times in that I'm not telling anybody to be less of a security leader. It's really about positioning, message positioning. It's not changing how you think about security necessarily. I mean, it is from the standpoint of making sure that your objectives align with the business. It's really about being an MBA before your criminology degree, because that is what's going to resonate with the organization. I think the other piece is stagnating. We talked earlier in our conversation about the threat landscape is constantly evolving. A lot of security programs are not constantly evolving. And I think there's a very big misalignment there between those two facts.
What are the top things organizations should do to modernize?
Well, one, you should have technologists on your team. Embrace their leadership as somebody on the team and as a thought leader and somebody who has an outside perspective, maybe even not from the security industry. Maybe not from a law enforcement background. One of the things that I really like about our team is about 95% of the team is from outside of the industry. And we ground that with the other 5% that do have industry experience. But I think it's important to have that perspective of how the rest of the world operates and what great technology looks like, what great product looks like, how things should be. And then, of course, you have to ground it in the reality of security and how it's actually going to be used and how it fits into your program. But it's a surprisingly unpopular thing to tell security leaders to hire thought leaders from outside of security. I think you can train them on security, you can pair them with people from security. But I think the new ideas and perspectives will be more than just refreshing. I think they have the ability to really up-level the program.
Well, with that in mind, looking ahead, let's say 1 or 2 years, what predictions do you have for the corporate security industry?
Well, I really think data is gold in security, and data has been gold in a lot of the organizations for a long time. And I think security has an incredible amount of untapped gold right now. So, breaking down those silos is going to be a first really big step in the ability to leverage that. I think ecosystem partnerships is going to be a really big part in being able to move data back and forth across different systems and give visibility to the team that uses one system in the GSOC is maybe a different team than uses a system in investigations or intelligence. And then maybe you've got a business team and you've got a retail ops team. And I think you're going to see a lot more interplay between even different departments. I think you'll see more shared service models in organizations where there's tech that is broadly applied across multiple organizations versus individual pieces of the org, each buying their own tech in a vacuum.
Well, as you said, I think a lot of organizations are sitting on a tremendous amount of data that's being maybe hoarded in different departments. And if you can open that all up, they're all sitting on a tremendous amount of gold that's very hard to find unless you've got AI, which is incredibly good at looking through that stuff very quickly.
That's right. And I think the structuring of that data is going to be really important. I think the normalizing of that data is going to be really important for an organization to effectively be able to gain insights from their data and automate some semblance of response from their data. You have to be able to standardize the outputs from different systems that each output stuff differently today. That's something we spend a lot of time thinking about, but it's a real challenge in a company today. You can just imagine if you go super basic and you do a spreadsheet export from five different systems and we'll just say access control, right? Each system refers to a door forced open as a different thing in its output. And so you can't just take those five spreadsheets and put them together and tell AI, hey, make this make sense. It doesn't work. You have to also give it the translation script to understand that from this system, it's called this. From this system, it's called this. From this system, it's called that. And then here's how we normalize it in the underlying system. And that's going to be true across all of these different pieces of tech.
Yeah, that's really important. Technology can make your work exponentially more easy or exponentially more difficult, depending on how you implement it.
And I think there's a reservation to buy new tech. Part of it is, I think, the unknown. And I think part of it is there's this expectation that your systems and data have to be in a perfect place before you're ready to leverage AI or a new tool. At Hivewatch, we say, just start. The analysis paralysis is real. Perfect doesn't exist. That is not going to happen. So stop trying to achieve it. And let's just start and figure out, like, let's get the data in. The data will inform where the biggest problems are. And then you can have this sort of continual iteration and improvement on what you have. But if you're going to try to get there first, good luck to you, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's absolutely an evolution. And I love that saying. I think it's, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great.
That's right.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, if you could give one piece of advice to security leaders planning for the future, what would it be?
Just start. You know, I think bigger picture, it's embrace technology. It's start beating down those silos. And silos are both technological and operational within the programs. But at the end of the day, don't get stuck in analysis paralysis. Align your priorities with the priorities of the business. Pick something and just start. Iterate on it.
Excellent closing words. Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been great.
Thanks for having me.
To learn more about Ryan and his work with Hivewatch, click the links in the episode description. You can also watch video highlights from this episode on Alert Media's YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Employee Safety Podcast from Alert Media, the industry's most intuitive emergency communication and threat intelligence solution. To learn more about how to protect your people and business during critical events, visit alertmedia.com. Until next time.